The question we'll deal with today is, what is the gospel? That's a phrase that some people might want to try to identify and be specific about. We know the Bible mentions the gospel over almost 100 times as far as the word gospel, and many times there's variations of that, such as the gospel of the kingdom. There's the gospel of Christ. There's the gospel of grace mentioned one time, the gospel of God, the gospel of peace, and the everlasting gospel, and then just the plain gospel. I mentioned several times the majority of those, almost 100 times, that's mentioned in the New Testament. So what is the gospel? Now, the word gospel means good news. The word itself means good news. And as we go to the Bible, we'll find out what the gospel is as far as the Bible. That's the best basis we have. As we've dealt about what is truth, let's find it in the Bible. That's God's Word. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul writing to the saints at Corinth, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Now, Paul is saying to the saints at Corinth, and he gave them the benefit of the doubt, when they said they were saved, he called them a saint. And there's always a word sinner and saint is never, saved person's never identified as a sinner in the Bible. I know we use the term sinner saved by grace, but theologically, a sinner is one who's not saved. A saint is one who has been saved. And here he talks about those who have believed and are saved, unless you believed in vain. And that word means basically, unless you believe with the head and not the heart. And there were many in Corinth who had never been saved. And Paul's dealing with them and telling them really to examine themselves to see whether they're really saved or not. But here is the gospel, he said, that I declared unto you, and by which you receive, wherein you stand, whereby you're saved. That is verse 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Of course, this is the gospel of Christ, and all those words we used in the beginning, talking about the gospel of the kingdom, grace and peace, and all of those identify the same gospel. There's not but one gospel. And Paul said, that's where I was saved by, and where you're saved by. Unless you believe with the head and not the heart, you really didn't get saved. And, of course, we could say the gospel in a nutshell, as some people try to say, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news. It's what the book's about, if you please. But listen, folks, it's not that just that Jesus died. He died for our sins. The word "for" means in place of my sin, in my place, He died. And He was buried, and He rose again the third day. But now to qualify as dying for my sins, that means He had to be virgin born, because Adam passed the sin nature to all mankind. And Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost and did not have Adam's nature inside. Therefore, he was God in flesh. And therefore, He qualified as our sin bearer. He didn't have the sin nature. He also lived a sinless life. That was necessary. If any sinner, any man sinned one time, he would not have qualified to be the sin barrier, or my sin barrier, if you please. But he was. He was my sin bearer, there on the cross of Calvary. And so as a result, we say the gospel of Christ, even though we mention it's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, it includes the virgin birth, it includes the sinless life, and the vicarious death. The word vicarious is mentioned many times. That means the dying in place of another. That's what the word actually means. And, of course, the burial and the resurrection. But it also includes his bodily ascension into heaven. He went to heaven. And now he's got a ministry of intercession at the right hand of the Father. Of course, he went to heaven to sprinkle his blood. That's part of the gospel. And then he's bodily coming back again one day for the saints of God. That's all part of the gospel. So when we're talking about preaching the gospel, we're talking about the entire coverage of the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the ministry of intercession, and his bodily coming back again. Now, we don't have to deal with all the ins and outs about the second coming in that, but we must believe he is coming bodily back for his saints. If you don't believe that, you're not saved. You're an unbeliever. So when we talk about the gospel, it's the gospel of Christ. That's true. It's the gospel of a kingdom. He's going to come back and set up his kingdom. It's the gospel of grace, unmerited, undeserved favor. It's the gospel of peace. I mean, the believing in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ brings peace. And so, therefore, we talk about what is the gospel. It's the good news about Jesus and what he's done for us on Calvary and all that was involved that he might be able to qualify to die in my place on Calvary. And the fact is, he's coming back to take us home one day. Now, the Bible also says something else about the gospel of Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Matters not who it is. Man's got to be saved the same way. And that is the gospel of Christ. It's got to be preached to you. It's got to come to you. And it's the gospel of Christ is what's the power of God unto salvation. It's not talking about the weather. And then Paul said to preach the word to Timothy. He said preach the word, which in a sense is to preach the gospel of Christ, the truth of the word of God, the standard that we'll have to meet one day at judgment. And if we can't meet that standard today, might as well mark it down. You're not going. And so therefore, the gospel is the power of God unto a salvation. But now, that for it to be the power of God, it's got to come in power. It's got to come in power. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 5. Paul said this. He said, our gospel came not in word only, unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. In other words, the gospel's got to come in power. Got to be what Hebrews 4:12 said, the Word of God has got to be sharpened. It's got to reach down to the soul and the spirit. And the only time that the gospel is going to be that way is when the Holy Ghost gets up on that and empowers that and sharpens that down into an individual's heart. And therefore, it's got to come in power. Many people have had the gospel in word only. They embrace some proof text. They embrace some scripture. That's just the written truth, the written word. What you need is not the what, but a who. The living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for Him to be revealed to you, the gospel has got to be preached to you in power. Now, it's God's power. It's not the preacher's power. It's the power that comes from God. And by the way, a preacher, I know that God uses human instrumentality. We know that. But still, the gospel or the word that you have or the understanding you have has got to come from the Lord. In other words, I know we as preachers are in God's stead. But folks, if you just believe it because the preacher said it, then it's not enough. You've got to believe it because it come to you in power and the Holy Ghost quickened it to you. He made it real to you. He gave you that you needed, that it was an utterance from Him. And Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That word for word there in the Greek is the word harema, which means the utterance of God. God has got to quicken this written word to you. God's got to quicken the preached word to you. In other words, God's got to prick to you or quicken to you the gospel of Christ. And when it comes that way, then salvation occurs because it's His work and not yours. Now, Paul warned us about preaching any other gospel or receiving any other gospel, as he said in the book of Galatians, chapter number 1, verse number 8. And 9, and in other words, he marveled at the people in Galatia, the saints there, that they were so soon removed. Verse 6 says, from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel. The word for another there is heteros, which means another of a different kind. Verse 7, he said, which is not another, but that some would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Sounds like double talk. But what Paul's saying, I'm amazed that you're so removed from the truth to another of a different kind of gospel, which is not another of the same kind. It's not of the saving kind. And then he said this warning in verse 8 and 9, Galatians 1. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. In other words, any other gospel than what Paul preached or what they received. If they preach any other, Paul said, just let them go on to hell. It's another gospel. Folks, we've got a lot of people preaching another gospel today. And you say, well, what is another gospel? It's a gospel or so-called a message that they refer to as the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's Jesus plus something or Jesus minus something. I want to tell you the gospel is Jesus plus nothing and minus nothing. It's not Jesus plus good works. It's not Jesus plus baptism for salvation. You'll want to be baptized after you're saved, but it's not Jesus plus something. That is another gospel. And Paul said, if you preach any other, or an angel, a messenger, even angelic being, in the end time we know there's going to be some angelic beings that's going to be preaching. And you can guarantee if God has some, there'll be the devil having his out there also. And so as a result of that, Paul declared that's got to be the same gospel. We have some people today say, well, man saved a different way in the end time. After a certain period of time, it's a works gospel. No. That's another gospel. And Paul said, let them go on to hell if they preach that gospel. Let them be accursed, because there is no other gospel than one gospel. That is the gospel of Christ, which is the death, the burial, and resurrection, involves the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, His ministry of intercession, and His bodily coming back again. So that angel that says in Revelation chapter 14, verse number 6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell under the earth. What gospel is it? The same gospel that Paul preached. And Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel other than the good news of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, just let him go on to hell. What is the gospel? The good news concerning Jesus' work on this earth, on the cross, and coming back again for mankind. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.